The Digital Journey on Radio Kerry, supporting digital transformation in Kerry.
We've seen a lot about the benefits of AI, and I suppose it comes into a lot of different aspects of our lives. Now, I can imagine that it's something that's probably going to get bigger and, I suppose, play a bigger role in our lives into the future.
Yes, definitely. I think probably we could even take it back a little bit, and it's not a massively new concept. It's been around for a long time. I think the popularity of it is obviously very predominant at the moment and what we're kind of seeing, but we've all been interacting with it to a certain extent for a long, long time. You know, looking at Google and search engines, and I kind of like looking at the example of like the ABC spell check in your Word doc. You know, we've always had iterations of asking a computer to help us or to prompt things. Mm-hmm. But I think the kind of the difference in what we're seeing now is what we predominantly would have thought was very technical or things that the average person couldn't do or couldn't use, now it's in their hands. You know, you're seeing kind of really cool examples of like small business owners. You could have a fish shop or just a very traditional business where you sell a product to people, but you could have a very automated backhouse system of how your accounts run or communicating with customers or suppliers or whatever that it is. So it's kind of, I keep trying to emphasize, it's not overly new. It has been around for a while, and it's a tool to help you in what you are already doing. It's not designed to remove or do anything for you. It 1,000% still requires a human at the back of it and directing it and instructing it. And without us humans there, it doesn't work to the proper effect. And we're seeing that a lot in, I guess, like we can talk a bit more about the training that we're looking at in this space and what we're thinking about. But the training is really showing that we're at the very beginning of something, we're at the cusp, and we're all fully understanding how to use it to the best of its ability. And when I say it sounds like it's this robot that's in the room that's going to kind of be sitting at the desk beside you. But think of it as a virtual form of something that you can ask questions to. And we all need to get better at what to ask and what we are looking for and, you know, the different kind of roles that it's going to help with. So it is exciting. I'm excited by it in my field and who I work with. I know there's a lot of questions and what's it going to change and what are things going to look like in the future. But change is necessary. I think, you know, evolution in all sectors, you know, we had a horse that turned into a car, you know, we've evolved, we had a tape or a cassette or a disc. We've evolved things a lot in lots of other ways. And this is a kind of a grand scale and it's touching nearly everyone in some way. So it's pretty noisy at the moment.
It certainly is. You touched on training, I suppose, there. And I know that AI and the transformation of technology, it's something that we do need to kind of educate ourselves a bit on. You know, people that aren't, it was say, in the field like yourself that would have, you know, the expertise. And I suppose, especially when it comes to younger generations, then is it something that we should be focusing on, you know, giving them a bit more education around it so they know how to deal with it and how maybe not to be afraid of it, for example?
Yeah, talking about the younger generation is interesting. I think they will grow up knowing probably no different. We all have younger family members and nieces and nephews and all these kind of things. We see how they interact with technology anyway. They'll take your phone out and they'll have done something with it that you didn't even know it could do. And the key thing that I can even see like with the training and different things that we're doing is you have to kind of get in there and mess around with it. You have to just start doing. And that's what children will do when they're trialing something. And that's what people need to do when they're kind of exploring what they should do with it. Like ChatGPT came on the market really, really strongly last year and you could use it for free. It was just like this other thing on your computer. You just go onto the website and it didn't have that much instruction. It wasn't exactly clear what it did, but it was almost like a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. And you went on and you started asking it questions, and a lot of them were jokey things at first and messing around and seeing its parameters. And then it gets a bit more streamlined and you're like, oh, I can actually upload a document into this, and then I can ask it a question, find me all the sentences with the word yellow in it. And it's a process that you can kind of go through. So I do think the younger generation are going to grow up with it and it's going to be very, very natural. You know, we can see anybody who is using it has really positive experiences. the first thing that we would have noticed in the middle of last year, we rolled out a couple of AI for marketing courses. And marketing was an industry and still is an industry that's really benefiting from it because it's quite labor intensive. There's a lot of content to prepare, research, you know, even like in yourselves in Radio Kerry, the information doesn't come out of nowhere. You're trawling through papers, articles, talking to people, all that has to be gathered. And essentially what a ChatGPT model would do for that is you ask it the questions, where did that accident happen and what date? Can you put this in an order for me? You know, all the things that you do anyway, but you're prompting this model that has the information already in it to bring it out to you. So it's do and figure out to an extent. And then the training that we're bringing in will be interesting because training is empowering people that don't believe or didn't think that this would be part of their role. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we feel is really important because I think we think sometimes when these things are announced that these are technical things for tech people in tech environments. And the absolute beauty of this solution is that everyone can use it. So I mentioned marketing. Marketeers probably didn't think that they needed such a technical tool. We see the massive advances that it can have in HR, accounting, all of these that have like a lot of data behind the scenes that they need to prompt and ask questions. It can give them quicker answers. And the training that we want to put in place, it's empowering these types of individuals in their current roles to do what they're doing better and more collaborative and quicker is essentially what everybody's getting excited about. If we look at marketing, you can pull blogs together quite quickly, all these kind of things. But to go back to what I said earlier, you need a human to reread everything and to recheck everything. And most of the time when I'm using ChatGPT or any sort of a similar engine like that, I'm fighting with it saying, make it sound more like me. That doesn't sound like an Irish person. Make it snappy. I don't want this to be salesy. You know, you're coaching it constantly to sound like you or to be like you because the first example that they will come out with will be, everything is awesome. And I'm like, no. I have to send this to my boss. Tone it down. Make it sound real. So there's lots of potentials and I think it's trying it out. It's kind of giving things a go and having a bit more comfort around it.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And it's great to see that it does benefit so many different aspects, like you mentioned there. And also, I suppose, like, you know, work-life balance is something that we're hearing an awful lot more about now and people really want that. I think, you know, the pandemic probably showed us being at home, I suppose, what we have and what we might be missing out on to a certain degree when we are at work. So this is probably a positive solution in that way as well, because it kind of might help speed things up a little bit. And I know you mentioned you obviously need to go back and double check things, but there is a quicker element there, I suppose, associated with it.
Yeah. And I think there'll be different types of businesses that take that on board in different ways. Mm-hmm. So if you're a large corporation, you're looking at the advantages of how AI could speed up things within your team so you can get more productivity out of your team. So that's a higher return on investment. They're doing it quicker, faster, with less resources, win-win for a large company, mm-hmm. which is great because then they can probably put more products and services on the market and they will continue to grow. And an example that kind of comes to mind, we've done a lot of research and collaborated with a lot of large organizations around the country to ask them how they're using it. And OnPost is one of my favorite examples, an Irish semi-state company, which we don't traditionally think of being very progressive in this space, but they are very much so. And we had Maureen O'Rourke, who would head up their digital transformation team. We had her talk at a session that we did a couple of weeks ago, and she spoke about how they designed a really cool user experience using automation tools, and they brought maybe 16 members of their team in. But once they built this and they saw how successful it was, this in turn has led them to be able to create a lot more jobs to continue to scale this project that they built. So this was a really positive example, which we need to hear more of at the moment, of how they designed something backed by AI, fully automated. They did it with slim resources of what they had, and it will create more employment within OnPost, which is really, really good for them. And that's, I guess, that particular team. And OnPost, I think, have something close to 9,000 employees in Ireland. So they're looking at, okay, how do we bring the rest of our employees up to speed with this and make them more comfortable. And this is where RDI Hub see opportunities. When we see a workforce of close to 9,000 people, that maybe if we think of OnPost, you've got a lot of tellers, mail people, back of office that you don't always see, that are organising different things, supply chain, whatever that it is. I would probably call them maybe non-technical employees, because what they do on a daily, their everyday interactions may not be on a computer. It may be physical, it may be whatever that it is, but it doesn't mean that they can't benefit from having a system in place, that they get clearer instruction from HQ or how the information is passed down along to the company. So there's a lot of potential when you see a lot of large workforces like that and how it can help them in their processes and remove error and repetitive tasks and things that get laborious and, you know, keep things probably a bit like more interesting or exciting for employees. So there's a lot of opportunities in that space. So in the corporate side, that's where I see it going, where I really see the exciting opportunity. And this is a space that RDI Hub are really, really zoning in on at the moment, is SMEs. So the small to medium sized companies, and even to go smaller than that again, your everyday businesses and sole traders who could be maybe one or two operated people. So when you think of the smaller a team, the less resources they have to compete on a bigger scale with the bigger companies. But the bar has been raised so high with regards to what customers expect from services. You know, if I hear of a new store opening immediately, do they have a website? Do they have social media handles? How active is it? Oh, they haven't posted in like a year. This probably is dormant. You know, I have high expectations, and it would probably take a while for me to realize, oh, right, they're actually not Topshop. They're just, you know, the small retailer in my town, and it's just them that's working in there, ordering the clothing or whatever that it is. We don't recognize that. So having AI solutions, AI automation support, you know, tech support, anything like that, that can help them do things cheaply, quicker, and with less people, that has huge benefits. And we work a lot with Microsoft, and Microsoft are kind of zoning in on this space as well, because they see them really as being their customers. People living in rural, marginalized areas that don't have a lot of employees available to them, because whatever to do with like population or different types of skill sets, and they have to do a lot for themselves. So if we're looking at technology, it can be that extra arm or extra support, this tool that can help support you do things because you don't have manpower and you don't have people. So that's where I definitely see the big opportunity, and RDI Hub and the training plan that we will be rolling out for small to medium sized companies is really, really targeted on that. You know, your 20 to 150 employees, that can really, really help them kind of grow and scale.
That's great. And it's great to see that there are so many opportunities. And particularly, as you said, for the smaller businesses, I suppose, you know, you might kind of associate it with the bigger type of businesses. We talked about a little bit already, but just to go in a little bit deeper to it, you mentioned, you know, that you do need a person still there. And there are a lot of fears, I suppose, around AI, and that maybe it might take people's jobs, or just fear of just maybe the risks that are associated with it. Would you be concerned about that, or do the negatives maybe outweigh the positives? Because I know the government do have a National Advisory Council for AI in place. So I suppose it is something they're looking at, but would you be concerned yourself?
It's very, very early to say. I think, you know, we are trying to focus on the possibilities and the opportunities at the moment, because they're so ripe and we want to grab them. I think the EU AI Act was launched last month, and it really shows Europe as being a leader in defining the parameters and restrictions of what people can do with it and how they can use it. So I do have confidence in Europe, and I do have confidence in how Ireland is putting committees together. Most companies are putting committees together to do things safely. That's the safety aspect, and that's where I probably have the most fear, because we see things like war crimes and, you know, people's faces or images or voices being copied and recorded and things being used for illegal purposes. I have more doubt and fear in that, because that's a big thing to manage. And that's, you know, even companies protecting their employees. If you think of an employee who goes onto their work laptop or their work computer, and if they have access to ChatGPT or a Copilot or whatever that it is, and they want to speed up how they do their work, and they take a document that was shared with them from the legal department with maybe sensitive data, with dates or times or whatever that it was, financial projections, and they upload this into ChatGPT and they ask it a few questions. Can you help me summarize this because I have to write a report in it? You've technically taken a private document from your organization that should have only be accessible to people within your organization, and you've uploaded it to what we call an open source. So you've kind of given it out to the public. And you hear a lot of things in the news at the moment. I don't want my data to be used for training models. And that's what's happening there. That document was uploaded into an open source. That open source will take any information that's been given to it, and they will use that to train a model that if somebody on the other side of the world asks the question, let's say that this company was called Trees for Life. This person at the other side of the world asks its ChatGPT a question, what is Trees for Life's financial projections for the next 3 years? The information was fed into it by a source, so it's accessible somewhere else. So it's when you hear open source data, closed source data, companies need to have closed source. If you're a financial institution, if you're in healthcare, if you're in any sort of an organization that has private sensitive information, you need to make sure that it's closed, mm-hmm. that what your company designs, writes, whatever that it is, stays within your company and it doesn't go out any further. So they're the things that I think are at risk, and that's what I worry about. I think jobs are constantly changing and roles are always iterating. And it is kind of sad to say, you know, we've seen an evolution of all jobs kind of become redundant at a point and then they evolve into something else. And this is where, as much as possible, if we can train and upskill and work with people, that doesn't happen. And that, it's probably a silly example, but even to think like during COVID when hospitality was closed for so long and we hear that so many hospitality people retrained in something else and they adapted because we didn't know how long it was going to go on for, and they moved into something else and they had a bit of scope. The key thing to kind of get over is fear and worrying about something coming to take your role is an awful feeling. And I even hate when the question gets brought up and you hear recruitment experts talk about it instead of talking about the evolution of skills, mm-hmm. you know, and skills do change and they do move. And some people are excited to add this other layer. And even from when we did marketing courses, AI marketing last year, people were really excited to see how they could actually bring on something that could, you know, improve them in what they're currently doing. Because for a lot of us, if you did an undergrad, you may not have been in a educational or upskilling environment for a long time. So it's like, oh, I'm giving myself an opportunity to jump onto something. And I think we looked at technology, especially like if I talk about like we're here based in Kerry, and like even like the purpose of the RDI Hub, we want to provide services and products to a community or a more rural environment so they don't have to be going to cities or they don't have to leave and they don't have to travel. And technology is such the gift that keeps giving when you do live in a location like this, because it kind of shows you can do business from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And when there was a time where technology was the reason people left rural areas because they felt they could only get a technical style job in a city and we chase all the big firms, now technology is the reason people can stay living in rural areas and you could live on Inish Boffin and you can run a business because as long as they've got decent Wi-Fi connection, you are connected and you can speak to your customers. You can still have someone sorting out your accounts in an office in Dublin and be able to make that connection. All these things that, you know, technology is giving us these opportunities. And I try not to use the word AI too much because it is a type of technology. It's a way of doing business. It's essentially automating, which is really not very cool. It's the boring element of everyone's work. But it's like when you're sitting down thinking, I wish I could just get somebody to respond to all those emails from those customers at the end of a day and automatically send them an invoice and then automatically send them a follow-up email 3 weeks later when they still haven't paid something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's automation, you know, and it's laborious and it's time consuming for a small business or an individual. And they're the opportunities. And technology does give people that opportunity. So whether you're a fisherman or you sell hats or you are an accountant, whatever that it is, with everything that we do now, there's a level of technology because you manage things, you know, you interact with people, you email. So it touches everyone in some way, no matter where you're located or what you do or what your role is. And I see positives.
It's really interesting and it's great to hear that there are so many different opportunities associated with it, and I can imagine it'll only grow into the future. But it's been lovely talking to you, Maeve, and thanks for joining me on the show.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
The Digital Journey, brought to you by Radio Kerry and the RDI Hub in Kilorglan, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.